Okay, Rabbi Ostroff could begin.
Thanks, Rivki. Okay, like I said, I need to apologize for doing it again, even though I did it last week. But I found something very beautiful over Rosh Hashanah. There was enough time in Shul to read something, so I wanted to share it with you. It will come later. We are now, all of us, mamash in Yemei Adin. It's still the days of judgment. They began on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, and they end Motzei Yom Kippur. And it's all called Yemei Din. There are different types of Yemei Din. There's more Din, and there's less Din, and there's Rachmin in the Din. But it's all Din. And proof is that in Shmonesre, you're still saying, Zochreinu Lechaim, Melech Ofet Lechaim. You're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us life. And it means your life. It means you're being written now, us and our families. And we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to not put us in the book of death. And we're asking for a life of happiness and of menuchas hanefesh. And we're being checked and observed and watched. And everything about us is being checked now. Everything, all the time, everything, which is very frightening in a way. It is frightening. And what is being checked is our thoughts and our actions. And even more, we kind of asked for life on Rosh Hashanah, and we realize how serious it is what we're asking for and what's up for stakes. And the Kabbalah is kind of saying, okay, you asked for something, but you have to give something in return. And giving... that something in return that we have to give him is ourselves. And it's not something that's ugly. It's not something that's horrible to do. It's something very beautiful and very in sync with our neshamas and in sync with our real true selves. It's hard because it's giving up Olam Hazeh. It's giving up Olam Hazeh in the sense of the way we want to live and feel like living and are used to our comfort zone. And giving that up is hard. It's very hard to give that up. But what we're getting in return is something extremely beautiful. It's a life of Avodas Hashem. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, if you want to look it up yourselves, you may, it's in Perek Nun Zayin, Kapitel Nun Zayin, Pasuk Tet. Where David HaMelech says, Uro Chvoidi, Uro means wake up, Chvoidi means my neshame. In throughout Tehillim, Chvoidi means his neshame. Wake up my neshame. And David HaMelech said, wake up from what? From sleeping. How am I going to wake up? David HaMelech wanted to wake up in the middle of the night at Chatzos, because he didn't go to sleep at 11 at night. He went to sleep when it was pretty, when it started becoming dark, or after it became dark. That's how people used to go to sleep. It weren't lights. So he went, I want to go to sleep, but I have to wake up and do Avodas Hashem. Urach Voidi. What am I going to do? How am I going to wake up? So then he continues with the Pasuk, Uro HaNevel V'chino. I'm going to put the nevel, the harp, if that's what it is, in my window. There's going to be a beautiful northern wind that's going to blow through the harp and play music and wake me up. And then the Pasuk continues, Oiro Shochal, I will awaken the dawn. Dawn, D-A-W-N. I'll be there before the dawn. Usually the dawn wakes people up. In other words, you're up, the dawn starts at 5, I don't know, and then you wake up at 7, so the dawn woke you up. It was there before you. But he said, I want to wake up early and start doing Avodas Hashem. So David HaMelech is talking about this beautiful scene where there's a harp in his window and it starts playing beautiful music from the northern wind, and it's going to wake him up and he's going to do Avodas Hashem. Sounds beautiful. And we can imagine David HaMelech as a king and that's in his window and wow. And the Chaim Kleinswirt, who's a Kollel Livracha from Antwerp, he asked, when did David HaMelech say this Perek of Tehillim? When was it? When he was a king lying on his bed? When he was in ruling Eretz Yisrael and much of the world and everybody was subject to him. So if you look at the beginning of the perek, it says, the first pasuk, Lam Natzeach, Bavochei Mipnei Shaul Bame'ara. This is when he was running away from Shaul, HaMelech. This is very soon after Shmuel Hanovi anointed David as king. Shaul HaMelech wanted to kill David. And David was running for his life. And he wasn't a king yet, David. He was anointed, but he wasn't a king ruling. And he ran away and he hid in a cave. And you know the story with the spider which blocked the way, so Shaul HaMelech thought that he wasn't inside. David HaMelech was in the depths of the cave, in pitch black, dark. There was no kingdom, there was no beautiful bed, there was no nice harp, there was no window, there was no north wind, there was only pitch black. And David must have been frightened out of his wits. Or maybe he wasn't because he had more bitachon, I don't know, but it was very scary. His life was in danger, mamish. And a few psukim before that, David HaMelech says, your chesed that you have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not normal. The amount of chesed that you have, and I'm going to thank you, and I do thank you, and I will thank you. And David HaMelech, in the pitch black of the cave, was planning, what is he going to do, what is his life going to look like when he's out of this cave, and when Hashem showers his chesed over him and saves him from Shaul HaMelech. And he was drawing a picture of a life of going to sleep at night like everybody else, but getting up in the middle of the night to do Avodas Hashem. And he said, that's the life I want to live. I want to live like that because I want to serve you, God. So he's already praising that now and dreaming of that. That's what's so powerful about this perek of Perek Nun Zayin, Rav Chaim Kreizwitz says. And I think that's very apt for our matziv. We are now in Yom HaDin, Yimei HaDin, and we say we want life. Okay, so start planning it. Draw a beautiful picture of a life of an Oved Hashem, of how much you want to be better, how much you want to be stronger in Hashkofa, how much you want to be stronger in your Machshavos, and thanking Hashem and bringing Him into your life. Draw that picture and then start trying to live it. And Bezat Hashem, you'll be able to. But if you don't draw that picture, if you don't plan your life of Avodas Hashem, then what are you banking yourself on? You want life. Why? Why should Hashem give it to you? What do you want? Life for what? Just to continue the way you are, just being a drop better? There, that's it. That's all we expected of us. We can do so much more than that. We can really draw a beautiful picture of an Oved Hashem and try and fill it. It won't take a day and it won't take a week. It can take years. But so what? You paint that picture and you'll get there. There's a story that I read over Shabbos from Yanko Galinsky's Sefer on the Parsha. Yanko tells the story of a Rebbe who was busy learning in his room, and he heard crying of a child outside the window, crying, hysterical crying. So he closed his Sefer, he went outside, and he looked for this kid that was crying, and he couldn't. He looked right, left, and he looked right, and he couldn't find the kid. And he hears crying and crying, and then he recognizes that it's his grandchild's voice. And he says, "Where are you? Where are you? I can't see you." So he says, "Zaidi, look up, look up. I'm in the tree." So the Zaidi looks up, and he sees his grandchild in the tree. And the Zaidi says, "Why are you crying? Get down. What's your problem? Why are you there?" Zaidi, you don't understand. We were playing hide and seek, and I was always being caught because I wasn't hiding well. So I decided I'm going to hide up in the tree behind the leaves, and nobody's going to find me, and it'll be the best hiding place. And what happened was that one of the other kids brought out a ball, and they started playing the ball, and they forgot to look for me. And now I'm stuck in the tree, and nobody's coming to find me. So the Zaidi, the Rebbe, started crying. So the child asked the Rebbe, "Zaidi, why are you crying?" So he said, "Oh, Veda, the Boy Nishlenim says the same thing. I built a beautiful world, and I wanted people to find me in this world. And I was hiding. The problem is I'm hiding so well that people are playing with ball, and they forgot to look for me." And obviously it doesn't mean... It doesn't mean that they're playing with ball physically. It means that we get lost with... What are we doing? What are we here for? What type of life do we really want to live? Do we want to look for Hashem? Do we want to bring Him in? with a smile, or we only bring him in when we have to. We kind of, as soon as we finish doing his mitzvahs, we throw him out the window and we try and continue our life with as least bother of Avodas Hashem as possible. And like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it feels the same kind of thing. Please look for me, because it's a lot of fun when you find me. And I can give your life so much tremendous meaning, and we can be have such a good time together, but you have to look for me. And so I, two things that in the sefer that I saw about Tshuva that really hit me, and I want to share it with you. Number one, when the sefer was talking about more for men, when we have mitzvahs like tzitzis and tefillin, but I'm going to try and paint the picture a bit different than for all of us, for girls and women as well. When we do our mitzvahs, this is what the sefer said. It was very demanding, and it struck like an arrow. From the morning till the till night, you could do all many, you do many mitzvahs. Many mitzvahs, you daven. And the harder ones take more time, not because they're hard to do, but they take longer time. And as a result, they bite out of our day. Oh, and the sefer said, I'm not giving you Musa girls, I'm just telling you what the sefer said, and you take it any way you want. Do you ever look forward to these things? Have you ever thought how fortunate you are to have them? These brachas, this tefillah that you need to daven, the chesed you need to do, the kivud avoem you need to do. When you start davening, do you feel that you had to daven? And as soon as you're over, you breathe a sigh of relief. Have you ever thought that perhaps you're so lucky that you're able to daven? Have you ever thought how fortunate you are to daven to the point that you're looking forward to it? You actually want to. You actually want to say Birkas HaShachar and thank Hashem for the things that you have, and not always concentrate on the things that you wish were different. And when you finish davening, do you kind of enclose the siddur, or you say, Oish, I wish I could daven more and talk to you, Hashem, more. And why is Shemoneh Esrei so long and it's so hard to concentrate? And I'm not going to wash for bread because then I've got to bench, and benching is so long, and I'll do any trick in the world not to have to bench. And when you finish benching and you close and you say, Hashem, Yivorech Shamo V'Asholem, is that what we like? If it is, so forget about beating yourself up. Change it. Think in a different direction, because we are from, and we want to be from. It's not a default. We want to be from. We're at a stage in our lives where we already want to do this. This is not already, it's not kindergarten, it's not elementary, it's not high school anymore. We want to be from. So wanna be from is a choice that I'm making. So make it properly and go all the way and make that the focus and be happy with it. Even though many people around you might not be thinking like this and think that you're weird, and life is not about being from. Life is, you are from. Okay, so you do the things that you have to do, but then you get on with life and you enjoy life. And the from things on the side, all that you do. That's not the way the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants us to live. And that's not the Chayim L'Chayim L'Man Chilakim Chayim. It's not living for you. That's living for me, just I have to do my dues. And we have to change our view on life when it comes to this. And like the child is crying in the tree, and the Rebbeinu Shlomo says, where am I? How can you do the things for me? But that's not, you're not looking for me. You don't want me. I'm stuck in your life. And we're not allowed to think like that. And that's something we have to do tshuva on. And bringing the Rebbeinu Shlomo into our lives in a positive way is something very beautiful. And the truth is that you know yourself that when you do it like that, because now and again you get this inspiration and you shoot high and you do it, you really feel at one with yourself. You feel in sync with yourself. And you have to aim for that picture. And that's drawing this picture of David HaMelech, Ura Nevil Ira Shochar. I want to wake the dawn. I want to be there because I want to do it. I'm excited to do it. It's hard. It's hard waking up in the middle of the night at 12, like David HaMelech. I'm not telling you to do that. It's only a marshal. It's the marshal for David HaMelech because he lived a different type of life. But we have to take that marshal and apply it to many areas of our lives. and look for it. And there's another nekuda. There's another thing that we have to aim for. When Rabbi Yochanan, he was one of the biggest Amoraim, he was straight after the Zman of the Tanoim, Rabbi Yochanan, he lived in Eretz Israel, and he lived, as far as I know, from the Gemara 400 years, because there was a nest, whatever, we're not getting to it now. And his Talmidim came to him before he died, when he was on his deathbed, and they asked him, Rebbe, give us a broche. Now you can imagine the scene, the most beloved Rebbe that they could have, a chain to the previous door, and it's the biggest thing in their lives, the Rebbe. It was a tzaddik otzum, Rabbi Yochanan, bigger than anything else alive. And his Talmidim come and they ask, Rebbe, give us a bracha before you die. In other words, give us a derech to live. Tell us how to become holy like you. What should we do? And Rabbi Yochanan, in his last hours maybe, said to them that Beza Hashem halavai yirotzen, it should be that you should be afraid of God like you're afraid of people. So Talmidim didn't get the depth of what he said. And they said, Rebbe Ad Kan, that's it. That's the bracha you give before you die. You shouldn't give a bracha, panose, I don't know, chaim tovim, become holy. When you go to Rebbe, what do you ask for Rebbe? And here he's saying, you know, just think of God like you think of people. Bring him into your thoughts like that. And that's it? That is so shallow? What, Rebbe, you think that we don't bring God into our thoughts? So Rabbi Yochanan answered them, halavai, halavai you would, halavai. Why? Teda, you must know, you know this upon yourself, that when you're doing something wrong, or you're about to do something wrong, you say, halavai, that nobody should see me doing it. So who do you bring into your thoughts when you live? Who's the forefront of your life? Not being caught, but it's not the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're not embarrassed of him. You're not ashamed of him. And Halavai Rabbi Yochanan says that if you would live your life being ashamed of Hashem, your life would be different. Now think of this for a moment. Think. That caught me so off guard reading this sefer that was explaining this situation. Even if we do something wrong, and we do bring Hashem into our thoughts, it's because of the punishment. And if we're scared of that he won't do for us what we ask him, it could be that we think, we learned in seminary and we've read in Sfarim that when we do an Avera, so it makes a mechitza, a barrier between us and Hashem, or Hashem and us, and we don't want that to happen. We might bring that into consideration. But embarrassed? Busha? Are we embarrassed of Hashem when we do something wrong? Whoa, that caught me off guard so big. I'm not embarrassed of Hashem if I do something wrong. I don't think of it like that. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, please tell me, you want to live properly? Be embarrassed of Hashem. You're embarrassed of people. You'd only be caught doing something wrong. So be embarrassed of Hashem when you do something wrong. And not to leave it on the negative, take it on the positive. When you're benching and you're sitting in front of people that are Yerei Shamayim, how are you going to bench? Now, you're not doing an Aveir. There's not Aveir involved. It's only a Maisa Toiv. You're benching. It takes 3 minutes when you bench with Kavane. 3 minutes. How are you going to bench with Mrs. Berlin sitting next to you and watching you or not watching you? How are you going to bench? Oh, it'll be so beautiful. Chaval al Azman. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching you. How are you going to bench? Well, he should say, thank you, I'm benching Bichlal. I didn't have to eat bread, and I didn't have to wash, and even if I did, then I go, huh? Yeah, that's how you think? That's how it goes? Where's your busha? You're on a show all the time. 24/7, the Ribbono Shel Olam is watching us. Now, especially, it's Yimei Din. From Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, we're being watched. But don't take it that we're being watched through the sights of a rifle. Don't look at it like that. Ribbono Shel Olam is Kuli Rachmim, and he wants us to be better people. And he wants us, all what we go through, all our nishonis, all the Ziyom Din. The Ziyom Din from Rosh Hashanah, by the way, is Rachmim. Is Rachmim in the sense, think of it like this. If we would not have Yemei Din now, let's say there would be Yemei Din every 10 years, let's say, not at the end of one's life, at 120, let's roll. Think of it, every 10 years you would have Yemei Din. When are you going to check and examine yourself that you need to do better? Once in 10 years. Once in 10 years to check yourself. You know how far gone you'll be from the starting point? Way down the mountain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rachmim on us, and every year he makes a real heavy Yom Din, and he says, Makindalach, wake up. Starting Elul, and then the week of Slichus, and then now, wake up. Kindalach, wake up. You can be better than you are. I know I made you, and I'm watching you, and I'm watching you to give you the feeling that I care for what you do, and I know how special you can be, and you're going to do it. And he's coaxing us on big time, and there aren't that many from people left compared to all the Jews and compared to people in the world that are doing his avodah. And he's saying, I know you can do it, and I'm watching you, and I'm watching you, and I'm watching you. And you ask him, you want to live for me? So come on, do it. I know you can. I made you. I know what your koiches are. You're letting yourself down. I'm not letting you down. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us nishuinis and we want things, and we all believe, all of us, all believe that there's certain things in our lives that if we had them, we would be in a different position, we could do avodas Hashem better, and we're being punished, and it's being unfair. And what, think of yourselves, of what you're asking from Hashem in your tefillos, and you're thinking that he's not fair, or he didn't. Why is it happening like this? So, kindness we've got from here till tomorrow. And girls, I want to, what happened to me on Shabbos was, I got a sleeper, and then I don't know, a year ago, somebody gave me, called, I mentioned to him in class when I got the sefer, I mentioned it to you if you were in school, and it's about a Yid that lived in Baltimore until how many years, 20 years ago. His name is Michael Forschlager, and I guarantee you that you never heard of his name. And this man was so great, maybe died 30 years ago, and now and again he would daven in Israel in Baltimore, and Bochum will talk to me learning. And at the back of the Sefer, that tells about his life, which was so incredibly high of Avodas Hashem. And he was a Talmid Chacham that was of massive proportions. He knew everything, in Torah. So at the back of the Sefer, there are letters that he wrote and were written to him by Gdolim. And there are many, many, many letters that he had written to Reb Moshe Gifter of Telz. And Reb Moshe had written back to him. Now you all know Reb Moshe Gifter was very big. And the letters there where this man is writing to Reb Moshe, he was bigger than Reb Moshe Gifter. You can see from the letters. And I was reading some of these letters in learning, letters about Torah, different things in Halacha, different things in Gemara, in Kabbalah, that he was writing. And with all my guys in it, that I think I know, I think I'm worth something in Torah. And I was reading that, and I was going, my gosh, you are so nothing. So nothing. And you really believe that you can decide when you're going to do Avodas Hashem and when you're not, and you're going to give of your darling time to the Ribbono Shel Olam and do what he wants? You're nobody. You haven't started. You're going to decide against this incredible Ribbono Shel Olam, so massive, so enormous, so powerful, so big, that you think you understand anything? You've got timeless. You think you can come with questions? You're nobody. You have to deal with this Hashem. He's being so kind to you that he's giving you life and he's giving you everything, and you've got a long way to go, and you're going to decide and go against him? You know how big he is? If you see a massive Talmid Chacham, massive Tzaddik or Tzaddikis, and then Din Avodas Hashem, and it makes you feel very small, your conclusion mustn't be, and it never is by me, by the way, Baruch Hashem, it's not that, okay, you're so worthless, so just give up. And that doesn't happen to me. It happens, okay, you're so small, so you better be better. You can't stay like you are, and you cannot continue the way you are. And you can't be the one to decide, okay, I don't feel like doing avodas Hashem, or I don't feel like putting my heart into it because it's not important. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so massive and so big. You see this from his tzaddikim. If those tzaddikim are so much bigger than you, and they are so mevatel themselves to Ratzon Hashem, and giving their lives over to Hashem, and an avodah isn't an option. So how dare you think that you can do something that is not, that he doesn't want you to do? And this is the time, Bill, this is the time I must think of it. Now, you may have been to think, Nachon, I messed up big time, but don't look at that. You never look at that. That's not the way to do avodas Hashem, that I'm bad, or I did things wrong. Leave that. Think what you can do right, what you can improve, what you can fix up. Paint your picture of your life that you know you can live. It doesn't matter if you're in America, it itself doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are, you can live a better life and draw that picture as if you're alone in the world and the burden film is watching you, but not through the sights of a rifle, watching you with chen v'chesed v'rachmim, with there's a word called mirth, with the smile, with the wrinkles that are next to the eyes when somebody smiles with joy and with an ein toivo. That's how he's looking at us. He really is, because he wants us to be matzliach and he knows we can. And that's how to look at him. And be embarrassed of him. Be embarrassed of being an avera. Think of him. He's watching you constantly. And he wants you to be matzliach. Imagine somebody that you love very, very much. And that person is watching you. And when you don't do what that person expects of you, you're letting them down. And they cry inside. Because they know how better you can be. But never mind the hurt that you're doing to them. What you're doing to yourself. That's how the Rebbeinu Shalom looks at us. And he cries for us when we mess up, because he knows we can do better. So we're asking, Zochreinu Lechaim, Zochreinu Lechaim, Leman Chelekim Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we all want life. We really want to live. We want to be written in the book of life. And like I told you not long ago, that we are given the pen, and we want to inscribe ourselves into your Sefer of Chaim. So Bill, take that pen and inscribe yourself in that Sefer HaChaim with big, broad brushes and broad strokes. That it's a beautiful life to live of Avodas Hashem. And we need to be better, and we can be so much better. Both of us, Sur Mira, embarrassed of him. Why? Because he's watching me, and I want to impress him, and I don't want to upset him. He gives me so much. Yeah, but I've got things that he doesn't give, and I've got tinyness, and I want to be different. Because it works like this. When you get to Shemaim after 120, and you'll come with his tinyness, your mouth will be so, what was I thinking? So save that. Save that for yourself now. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you think you should be in a different place and Hashem should have done different from you, don't think that. It's wrong. We're too small and he's too big. Do more tachlis, be embarrassed of him, do in a good way. He's watching you because he cares. So both of you are said to you, do it in the most beautiful fashion that you can. Draw that picture of like David HaMelech did, even he was in the back of the cave in pitch black dark. And there was no beautiful bed to lie on and no harp in any window, but he wanted to live like that. That's the picture that he drew. You also draw that picture. And the Zadid Dishmaya, we'll all be written in the Sefer Chaim, Brocha v'Sholom v'Fanosa Toiva v'Nizocha v'Nikos Eile v'Necha, Nachna v'Chol Amcho v'Yish Yisroel l'Chaim Toivim v'Sholom. Okay, Rivki.